fandom, that's new. This is episode 37 of Not Another Teen Wolf podcast, and we are coming to you this week to do a bite size in the hiatus. We've obviously got a few of them coming up until January. But we're coming to you this week to do a bite size basically about the wonderful and terrible past performances, films and television shows and upcoming performances of some of our main cast on Teen Wolf, basically what we've seen, what we'd recommend, what we probably wouldn't recommend, all of that kind of thing. So just a bit of fun, as well as maybe giving you a bit of a like insight into some stuff that you might not have thought of watching if you want to hang out with the cast in the hiatus. Well, sort of hang out without stalking them, you know, just hang out kindly through your screen, appreciating them. As you can hear, Karen is here too, and it's just us two tonight chatting back and forth about the stuff that we watched or have seen. We watched some stuff especially, and there was some stuff we'd seen incidentally. We took turns watching some different things to sort of talk to each other about giving recommendations to one another, and then there's some stuff that we've also both watched together so can discuss. Yeah, so hello, Karen. How are you this week?
Hi, pretty good. A little sleepy this morning, but
Late night for Natalie today and early morning for Karen. So, if you guys have seen any of the sort of media that we mentioned, or if you've seen something with the cast that I haven't seen or Karen hasn't seen that you would recommend, please weigh in the comments, either on Twitter or on the Hyperball page. Or wherever you want to contact us, really, email. Obviously, our email is natwpodcast@gmail.com. Twitter is natwpodcast as well. And our wonderful Tumblr is the full phrase, notanotherteenwolfpodcast.tumblr.com. So once you're done with this, please give us your recommendations about what kind of Teen Wolf cast projects that you've enjoyed or thought were ridiculous or, you know, are really stoked for coming up. Yeah, because there's going to be some ones that I actually tried to watch but was not able to get my hands on, so I do have some more future plans to keep watching things, as does Karen and the other girls on Another Teen Wolf podcast, I'm sure, as well. So to start off with, Karen watched two of Dylan's movies, High Road and The Internship, which I have not seen. I've seen the first time, but I was not able to access High Road. We don't have Netflix in Australia. I think you have to have, like, a thing that makes your, like, IP address illegal or something. And The Internship isn't out on DVD, I don't think, yet, and I only found, like, a weird camera version that didn't work. So, basically, I couldn't get access to those two movies. So, maybe we'll start off with her sort of telling me about what she thought of those and whether they were any good.
Yeah, I was actually pretty impressed by both. High Road is a very small indie film, and it's basically what it sounds like. It's about this guy who gets high all the time. One of his drug deals goes bad, and he has to go on the road, and he sort of picks up this kid named Jimmy, played by Dylan O'Brien, along the way. And it's sort of like a road trip movie. And I usually don't like comedies, not the biggest fan. I'd rather watch action movies where things explode and there's car chases and stuff. But by the end of the movie, it kind of gave you the warm, fuzzy feeling. And I was like, oh, well, you know, that's not really that bad. And as far as, like, Dylan's role in the movie, it felt a lot like Styles. I don't know if it was because this is really sort of like the first thing that I've seen him in other than Teen Wolf, like the first major thing. This was the first one that I watched. And so I don't know if I still had, like, Styles in my head too much or what, but I said on Twitter, like, who he plays in the movie is basically what Styles would have been like if he didn't have, like, a super awesome dad like Papa Stolinski. Mm-hmm. I saw a lot of the same sort of qualities and circumstances as Styles from Teen Wolf. But overall, it was a pretty good movie. I'd recommend it.
Cool. I am going to try and get a hold of that. So that was like his first major picture besides Teen Wolf, like filmed at the same time as I think around the same time he got Teen Wolf. Whereas The Internship was one of the ones he got like kind of a big budget comedy when he was starting to sort of make a name as a very promising young actor. Obviously, it's like the Vince Vaughn, Owen Wilson movie. How much of a role did he have in that?
It wasn't huge, but he was one of the like they form a team in the movie. Basically, if you guys don't know, The Internship is about Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn's characters who get laid off as salesmen, and they decide to go for an interview for an internship at Google, and they land the position to audition for the internship, and basically, like, they have to go through these series of challenges and stuff, and they form a group. And Dylan's character, Stuart, is in their group. So he's throughout the entire movie, but it's definitely focused on, like, Vince and Owen's characters, but he is there the whole time. And he plays this, like, hipster kid who's always on a cell phone, and it's wonderful. He was pretty good in it.
I've seen a lot of GIFs and stuff, and he looks very cute in it. He looks real nice with the glasses and stuff. So, yeah, like is it worth watching? Is it stupid comedy? Is it clever? Like, is it, you
You
know?
know what? I don't know if I would say like it's clever or anything, but like I said, I don't usually like comedies. I really enjoyed this movie. I like Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson, you know, I could give or take watching movies with them in it. I don't really care either way, but I really liked their characters in this, and by the end of the movie, like it was really fulfilling, and I liked the story, and it wasn't ridiculous. You know how like a lot of their movies or a lot of the comedies are like over the top? This wasn't. This was actually really heartfelt, and I liked it a lot.
Yeah, no, that's really good because I was going to say, I've seen Vince Vaughn pull off some pretty good stuff in movies where it's just been him by himself. And Owen Wilson as well, like he's kind of known for the like the slapstick over the top comedy, but he's also really well known for like the Wes Anderson movies that he's been in, which are very dark, like dark comedy. So they are sort of typically together a bit, you know, seen as a bit of a stupid comedy thing. So I didn't know, but individually I've seen them both do pretty good work. So it's cool that this one was not too silly. And I am gonna get that when it comes out. I have been looking forward to it. I didn't get to see it at the cinema. I don't think it's still out at the cinema here. I mean, sticking to Dylan, did you see? You haven't seen the first time yet, is that right?
No, I have. I
Oh,
watched
you
it
have.
last night.
Oh, okay.
That may be why I'm really tired this morning because
Oh,
I stayed
right.
up to like 1:30 watching
Okay, yeah,
it.
I see. Yeah, it's. I saw that a couple of weeks ago, and I liked it. There were bits of it that were a little bit heavy-handed. Like, I come across like films, and books sometimes that. You can just sort of tell that the people that have written it are kind of like, they're trying too hard to make it like their idea of like what a certain genre is meant to be, if you know what I mean. The tropes and stuff don't feel 100% natural. And this had that a tiny bit, but it also like completely overpowered that aspect was actually to me how natural it felt the two leads. Like the first time is obviously like a high school like coming of age movie about like these two teenagers who lose their virginity together over a weekend. But I was really shocked with that movie by, and this is obviously something that not everyone has experienced, but you sort of sometimes read books or like see movies where characters like fall in love super fast and you're like, that doesn't happen in real life. And this They didn't like fall in love in this movie. They got together in this movie. But like from experience, like from in high school, and something that I did see happen and have happened very much is like sometimes like in like a weekend or a very short period of like a couple of days, sometimes you do meet someone and it's like you literally spend like a few days in a row with them and it forms this really intense relationship straight away. Like that's happened to me on multiple occasions. And it's not like a movie moment rom-com like falling in love at first sight. It's just like it felt to me like a very realistic teenage experience. Like when you're just sort of into someone and you just you know, maybe you meet them and then you know, you all have like a sleepover at a party and then you're sort of still hanging out the next day and like just like big long like 3-day hangouts. That was like such a thing in my life, and I've never really seen it done as well as I saw it done in this movie. And some of the dialogue I really liked. All of Dylan's stuff was very good. I really loved the stuff with the little sister, and some of her stuff, like the Britt Robinson's character's kind of quirkiness, that was the only bit of it that felt kind of tropey and forced, but I did like her, and they were very, very cool together. So did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I really liked it. I didn't think I would, just because, like, the sole focus of the movie seemed to be on, like, the romance and them getting together and stuff like that. But I was really impressed. It was, I agree, there were a couple of moments that were like, you know, you're going maybe a little too far with this, or some of it seemed like a little bit cheesy. But those spots were really, really minor. And I think the way that they handled it was really good for the rest of the movie. And I had never heard of or seen Britt Robinson in anything before. And I really liked her character, and I thought her acting was fantastic. So I was pretty impressed.
I loved his two friends and like the way that they kind of
talked,
especially at like the party, I think on the second day, where he's trying to like convince her not to, you know, go home with Randy or whatever. There's just like such an amazing line at this one point that I genuinely can't remember it, but I paused and I was like laughing for about a good few minutes. Also, like his kind of friendship with Victoria Justice's character as well, Dylan's, and how it kind of got like weirdly intense and then faded out as well. Again, that kind of thing is often done in movies, like, and it makes you feel like rushed and like, oh, people change emotions so fast. How is that possible? But this is the first teen movie I've seen in a really, really, really long time that actually seemed natural in the way that, as I said, in my experience, like getting into someone really quickly happens. Like often movies make it too magical and romantic as opposed to just kind of, oh, this is happening. And this is just so naturally done that I was really quite surprised. And it was a cool movie. It was like, it was a little bit heavy-handed, like the bit, like there's a bit where they kind of evaluate their lives because like they see like some guys one night driving around in a van, and then the next night they realize that those people like crashed their van and are probably all dead or in hospital. And it's very like, that's kind of very heavy-handedly done of like, oh, we've got to live life. But aside from that, it was kind of one of the genuinely most natural teen movies I've ever seen. Like I've said this about shows before, is that sometimes you can't really show people acting the way that they do naturally on television because it's just not, it either hits too close to home or it's just not like dramatic enough for storytelling, like, you know, purposes. And that you'd very, very, very rarely see people acting on TV in a way that is a genuine representation of people's choices and the kind of way that they'd respond to things. Like it's a perfect, you know, it's a perfected version. It's a version where they get to, you know, make up time to think of what they're going to say and make up like these perfect moments. And this was like very imperfect in that way. Like it was very, things went well, things went badly. And it was just, yeah, it was just so real. And I really liked it. And I liked the ending. And Dylan was, yeah, very, very attractive in it once again. both that and I'm assuming the internship, I think he's playing a character that's, you know, obviously older than Styles. And in their first time, one thing I really noticed was he's really confident, like, in his body. Like, he's someone that's like, and he has this on Teen Wolf as well, but on Teen Wolf he's so anxious all the time. But he's just so comfortable, like, in his body and the way that he sort of uses his hands. And, like, he fit, sounds stupid, but he fits in his own skin so well. And I think the first time showed this the best out of anything I've seen him do. But he's just so cool. Like, he's just so comfortable in his own body. And I don't know if he's like that in person or if it was, like, a part of the character. But I've very rarely seen someone kind of so, I don't even have words for it. I was sort of tweeting about it at the time, but I just, Yeah, there's just something incredibly settled about him and his sort of place in the world. And I'm sort of sound like a weird philosopher or something, but it just really struck me in a way that people just usually sort of exist. They just sort of are, and they're not like particularly comfortable or uncomfortable. They just are. But there's something about him that I was just like, you're really unusual for, especially for someone your age and stuff. But anyway, yeah, I would recommend. What one did you like the best out of all three?
Oh, that's tough. I think in terms of like just a movie, I would say The Internship, but in terms of Dylan's performance, I would say The First Time.
Yeah, I have not seen the other ones to compare, but I shall get back to that. Get back to you at that time. Get back to you all about which I liked. But yeah, I genuinely loved The First Time, and I'd heard mixed reviews. I'd heard like that it was like not that great and blah blah, but I really liked it. I guess maybe we can look at posies now. I watched White Frog, which is again, a recent movie. It was made like last year, and I'd actually been keeping an eye on this movie for a while because Harry Shum Jr., who played Mike Chang in Glee, was sort of one of the leads in this movie, and he was sort of advertising it a bit, like in his Twitter, and we put a couple of articles about like the release of it on Hyperball. It was a movie that didn't really have a very wide release. It had like film festival releases, and then I think it went to like DVD, or you could like watch it on their website. It's not a very widely spread film, but I really, really liked it. It's sort of a, it's a teen, it's a movie about teenagers, but it is much more of a serious topic than Dylan's movies so far, at least. I think it's basically about this family that have two sons. One who's kind of a, he's like a senior. He's like 18, and then the younger brother who's 15, who has like pretty severe Asperger's syndrome, and the older brother is like the only person who's really close to the younger brother, and the family are not unaccepting of him, but they like kind of try and normalize him as much as possible, and the older brother sort of mediated a lot of stuff. Anyway, what happens basically to start off with is that quite early into the movie, the older brother is killed in a road accident, like riding his bike, and the story of the movie is the younger brother, who's played by Boo Boo Stewart, who played Seth in Twilight. The older brother was Harry Shum Jr. And basically him coping with like living after the death of his older brother and discovering like a lot of his brother's like secrets, because his brother was a lot there was a lot his brother was basically hiding from the family. Because they had this very sort of perfect image. It was like quite a rich family, like very, sort of good reputation and stuff. And what happens is the older brother, who was called Chaz, his group of friends that he used to go out with every Friday come, and they sort of start bringing Nick, the younger brother, into their circle. They kind of try and look after him for Chaz, and sort of through that he ends up learning stuff about his brother. And Tyler Posey plays Doug, who's one of the friends of Chaz. He's the first one who's really compassionate towards Nick. Like he has a very Chaz had a very, very, very close friend, one of the other guys in the group called, I think, Randy, I can't remember. But he was kind of always very brash and like, no, about Nick and his Asperger's and being like, I don't want to deal with this, and we kind of see why that is later. But Doug is this very, very compassionate, kind dude who's like, guys, he's the one that sort of starts picking up the younger brother and sort of driving him around places and, making him their friend. And then it's a really nice movie. It has quite a few twists in it, in the sense of like different reveals, and it kind of keeps you guessing for a while. Like, for example, for a while you think that he's discovered like one secret, and then you kind of realize it's not like a mystery. It's not like, oh, he was a murderer or something, but you kind of think you know where it's going, and it's not. It again was a little bit heavy-handed in the sense that it would have made a brilliant book. It wasn't based on a young adult novel, but if the story had been written as a young adult novel, you wouldn't have read it and thought, oh, this is really heavy-handed. But you know how sometimes stuff in books, when it's done on screen, can come across a bit more overdramatic, but it doesn't seem like that when you're reading it. But if you actually got someone to say those words out loud, it kind of is a bit stupid. There was a little bit of that to it. a little bit of that, like some of the sort of choices that they made to have the way they made people react was not very natural. It's very mild, like but I did notice when I was watching it, I was like, this would have not come across like this if it was written, but like seeing someone sort of act this out, like is kind of like a little bit heavy-handed. Regardless, it has a great message, and it's kind of one of those like specialty films. It is a film about Asperger's. Like, it's, you know, there's scenes with the kids' therapists that are kind of like a PSA, you know, to people about Asperger's and stuff like that. So yeah, again, a little bit heavy-handed, but very, very nice. Tyler Posey's character is, you know, probably the nicest person in the film, and yeah, he is in it quite a lot. But you know, Harry Shum Jr., who is one of my favorite people from Glee, Boo Boo Stewart, who played Seth in Twilight, who was like the best character in the Twilight series, if you've ever read them, the only character. even Leo, my roommate, who hates, like literally hates Twilight, and thinks it, like, no redeaming qualities. She's just like, I love Seth. Like, Seth is the best. Because yeah. He is. And all of the cast is really good. Like, B.D. Wong, who was in, I think, Law and Order, he's the dad of the family. Tallulah Riley is one of the girls in it. Her and Greg Sulkin is another friend of the brother. And those people, Tallulah Riley and Greg Sulkin, are both British actors. They play Americans in the film, but they're both people I know from like British culture and British TV, and they're both really cool. So I definitely recommend tracking this down. It's very kind of, I think it's a very progressive film. It's like written by like a mother and daughter, like very, it's the kind of thing we don't see enough of, in the sense that like being Harry Shum Jr., Boo Boo Stewart, B.D. Wong, it's like an Asian family, a Chinese family, but it's not like a movie about Chinese people, if you know what I mean. They could have just, I think the casting call could have been open for the main kid, and the fact that they got this kid who's Asian means that they cast the rest of his family as Asian, and it's not right. That big a deal. It kind of reminded me of like the random sort of non-commentability of kind of progressiveness in Teen Wolf, in it just being a movie about people, but it's not like all white people, if you know what I mean. In fact, I think there's only like one white main character, but it's not like a niche film for the Asian culture or anything like that. It just happens to be about an American Asian family. And I really liked that. And I think that aspect of making films is kind of the best way to go about things. And this is just a really, really good example of like, if you're into movies that just have a range of diversity without it being a big, massive deal, without it being sort of the focus of the film, like this is about diversity issues, it just happens to be very diverse because it's like a family living in California. It's a really good example of that, and it has some queer aspects as well. Like there's a couple of queer characters, and it's, yeah, all in all, yeah, would definitely recommend to anyone who likes a good movie about issues. Some of the stuff was really nicely said, like the writing was very good. So if you can get your hands on this movie, it's an independent movie. I mean, it is available, like, it's probably available for download, but I know that their website has it, like, for sale as well. So it's an independent film, so you should, yeah, check that out. I think it's really cool.
Awesome.
Then we both watched Young Tyler Posey at age, like, 9 or 10 in Made in Manhattan, which I watched, yep. I watched recently. I watched on purpose for the purpose of this, and Karen has seen before. So how much do you remember about Made in Manhattan?
Not that much. I mean, obviously, like, you know, when I watched it back when it came out pretty much.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I had no idea who Tyler Posey was or anything. So he doesn't really stick out in my mind. I'm not the biggest fan of J-Lo, either her music or her acting. I remember enjoying the movie, but it wasn't like, you know, anything groundbreaking. But yeah, what was it like watching it, knowing who the kid was now?
It was cool. I mean, yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of J-Lo's acting either. I will say for this that, like, she did very, like, it's probably the thing I've liked her in the most as an actress, that she's, it didn't look like, oh, I'm looking at a pop star pretending to be a hotel maid. Like, especially the way that she interacted, like, with her other, like, peers in the movie, like the other people that she worked with, it was She played the part a lot better than, like, I've seen her play many a role in movies. It was really good. Like, I love movies that are, like, set, like, on the street New York, like, on location New York movies. I love any pretty much novels or movies about people who work in certain industries in New York City. Like, I've got so many series of books that are about, like, people who work at newspapers in New York or people that, like, work or live in a hotel in New York. Hotel culture in New York City, I don't know why. I think it's ever since I watched Home Alone 2 as a child. It's my favourite Christmas movie. I'm obsessed. And I love all of that kind of stuff. It's really, it's a weird weak spot of mine. Like, I've got lots of, like, chick lit books about, like, stuff like that. And, yeah, I really, really liked it, like, looking at New York in the film and all that kind of stuff. But the cast is amazing. Like, besides from Jennifer Lopez, who, whatever. The main guy in it is Ralph Fiennes, and he's quite brilliant. He was good at it. Except for the fact that his character was still kind of British, though he was running for senator of, like, the New York state. Like, I think his family was, like, American, but maybe they had no explanation for, like, why he still had, like, a vaguely British accent at all. And then two of the other kind of side characters, both of whom Tyler got to act with, he obviously got to act with Ralph Fiennes a lot, were Stanley Tucci and Bob Hoskins, who were both really, like, renowned. Like, Bob Hoskins was, like, the butler of the hotel, and Stanley Tucci was, like, the aide of the politician, and Ralph Fiennes was the politician. And I was like, these are really good actors. This is really clever. The writing was better than I remembered, and I looked it up on Wikipedia. Apparently, it's a concept, like, the story concept was actually done by John Hughes, but it wasn't credited as John Hughes. It was credited as a pseudonym, and it only came out later that it was, like, one of his movies, or like, one of his stories. So it's better than expected, but John Hughes is sort of the master of, you know, 80s, 90s romantic comedy. So that was cool. Tyler was cute in it. He was very – it was not as forced as some children's, you know, acting has been. He was very – he was young, like, he was only 9 or 10. It was not as – I watched another movie later, which we'll talk about, which had Tyler Hoechlin as a young kid, and he was phenomenal. Tyler Posey, his role was to be there and, like, be cute and enable, like, his mum and the politician. Like, but he was cool. Like, it was – I forgot that the character was, like, weirdly quirky. Like, he's meant to be, like, quite gifted – and he's obsessed with, like, the 60s and 70s. Like, he had to do a speech on Richard Nixon, and because of that, he's, like, obsessed with Richard Nixon and, like 60s and 70s music. Like, he's constantly listening to all this old music. And so that was kind of funny. The other thing I found hilarious was that Ralph Fiennes' character was, like, he was a politician, like, a running for senator, and he was a Republican. And it was kind of this big thing. They were like, oh, make sure, you know, if you're going out with this woman, you know, make sure she's not a Democrat and stuff like that. And I'm like, they could never do that now and have people actually like this movie. Like, like, no one wants to watch a rom-com about a Republican. I mean, maybe in the early 2000s it wasn't as big a deal, but I was just like, yeah, the world is in a slightly different place now, and it's not, like, generally – I mean, plenty of people are Republicans, but, like, generally you don't see, like, some cool – progressive guy who's going to go out with a maid and who's, like, doing benefits for, like, people in the housing projects in the Bronx, like, being Republicans. Like, they have such a bad name now because of the Bush era, I guess. And it, yeah, I just found that aspect weirdly hilarious. I mean, I'm not even American, but I just found that really funny for some reason, because I think it wouldn't work now. Like, I think, I mean, maybe that's why it was a big deal, like, that he was slumming it even more because he was a Republican and this woman was, like, a maid and not of the upper class. But it doesn't suck. Like, as a romantic comedy, if you like looking at stuff filmed on location in New York and stuff like that, it really doesn't suck. And I was surprised at how much of it I remembered. Like, I obviously didn't know Posey as a kid. When I sort of looked him up when he, you know, I watched Teen Wolf, I was like, oh, that's that kid from that. But I was surprised how much of the movie I actually remembered pretty clearly. Yeah, definitely recommend it if you like those kind of things. And as I said, the cast aside, you know, J-Lo aside, is pretty phenomenal. So, yeah, Stanley Tucci especially really amused me. And
I love Stanley Tucci so much.
Yeah, so you should rewatch it, like, soon.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Okay, tell me about one of the others that you watched. I can't believe you watched Mortal Kombat.
Oh my, are you serious?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know video game things. Like, I know that, like, some of them have really intense characters. Like, I know that, I remember my brother used to play Tekken a lot, and all of the Tekken characters have, like, backstories and stuff. So, but I don't know about Mortal Kombat, so.
Oh, okay. I grew up on Mortal Kombat, the video game. My cousin used to play video games all the time, and he was way into Mortal Kombat, and he was, being the generous cousin that he was, let me sit there and watch him fight people.
Yeah.
And so I've always loved Mortal Kombat. I love the movies. They're absolutely ridiculous. The effects are really bad. They're like something out of like Power Rangers with the bad guys sometimes.
Oh my God.
It's 1995, just imagine 1995 effects. Mm-hmm. But the characters are interesting. The story isn't that bad. The dialogue isn't that bad. But, I mean, nobody watches these kind of movies for the dialogue. They watch it for the fights, and the fights were really good. But Lyndon Ashby, who plays Papa Stalinsky, he played Johnny Cage, who is a major character in the Mortal Kombat world. Mm-hmm. And he's just this American sort of superstar actor who actually like does know how to fight. And Mortal Kombat is basically about this tournament that happens every generation, and it's all these mortals come together to fight, and if this one guy, like if his main fighter wins 10 times in a row, they get to take over Earth, and like they'll like own it or something. It's kind of ridiculous. Yeah. But basically this is the 10th fight, and they have to fight to win to be able to save their planet. But Lyndon Ashby was the best thing about this movie, and I'm not even saying that as somebody who loves him on Teen Wolf, who loves Teen Wolf in general. He was really good. He was snarky and arrogant and hilarious. All the comic relief comes from him, and his fighting was really great, and he was just phenomenal in this movie. And I've seen this movie a bunch of times, but this is the first time that I watched it since like seeing him on Teen Wolf. And first of all, he is so young in this movie. At first you're like, wait, is that him? But no, it's definitely him. But he's just, oh, he's so good. You have to watch it, Natalie.
Okay, I'll watch Kombat. It. I'll try. I did see like, yeah, because I looked up everyone's sort of like Wikipedia and IMDb to see like what different things they'd been in and stuff like that. And like, yeah, I did see like a screenshot of it, and it looked hilariously low budget and tacky. So. Yeah.
I think though, like, I mean, movie aside, at least watch it for Lyndon's part, because he is genuinely very, very good in this movie.
Okay, I'll try. Also, because you watch everything and imbibe everything you can to do with gods ever, I presume that you watched the Immortals, like Daniel Sharman. Thing. I know he's not a lead, but the movie Immortals.
Yeah. I do. I try to watch everything about Greek mythology, read everything that I can because I love it. Look, Immortals is a terrible movie. It is so, so bad. All the gods are dressed up in this, like, outrageous golden armor. Like, Daniel's character, I forget who he plays. Like
Ares, I think.
Ares, yeah. He does. Okay.
According to Wikipedia, yeah.
He has this huge helmet on, and he looks ridiculous, and the whole movie is just really bad. I would not watch it again, and I wouldn't even recommend it unless you want to see it for Daniel's part. It's just a really bad movie in terms of, like, Greek mythology, and even just in general, like, the fighting and stuff was just, I didn't care for it. Daniel, though, I mean, he did fine. Like, it wasn't a huge part. It was cool seeing him, but I don't think it would really be, you know, on the top of my recommendations list.
Well, yeah, I am not so sold on that, I've got to say. Yeah, the thing I really want to watch Daniel in that I have not seen yet and could not find. I think the only way to watch this is if you buy the DVD directly from like the publishing company, because it's not anywhere on the internet. No, like it's clearly like not a wide release. Is a British movie that he was in. Obviously, he's British. Called The Last Days of Edgar Harding, which seems to be a thriller. Yes. Pardon? Have you seen it? Or
No. I've heard of it though. I mean, I've seen the clip that's going around the internet of him kissing another boy.
I did see that. I didn't know it was about that until I looked it up. I've seen a lot of gifs of like him basically being a rock star, like with a skinny tie and eyeliner, and I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of here for that. But basically, it's about it's a thriller movie about the like murder of a record producer, like a big name record producer. Presumably, these people are on his label, and maybe he's the killer. Maybe Daniel's the killer. We don't know. I genuinely don't know. But yeah, the only thing I've seen is a snippet of him like shoving a guy up against the wall and snogging him. So that's nice, I suppose. But yeah, I'm keen on anything with like him in being in a rock band. So I'm quite keen to get a hold of that. If anyone has seen that and knows how to get a hold of it, please let us know. Have you seen?
Yeah, especially since like his character seems so different than other things that I've seen him in.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's what I'm most interested in because it kind of expands his, you know, like what I see him as an actor. It just feels really different.
Yeah, for sure. What was the thing that you saw? Other thing that you saw Tyler Posey in that you mentioned here, The Giving Tree.
That's a Funny or Die short.
Oh, okay. I have not seen that one.
Okay. Basically, it's just about this tree that, like, attacks these people. And it's sort of like this trailer for this movie, The Giving Tree. Mm-hmm. And Tyler's, like, the main guy in it. And then there's a girl. I don't remember her name. I don't think I really know who she is. And they're just basically, like, running from this tree, and it's supposed to be scary, but you know, as always, it's very over the top, and then the end is kind of funny. And it was just, I mean, it was good. It's only a couple minutes long. It's funny. I think it's worth the watch. And everybody was, this came out, I think, I don't know if it came out after the season finale. It was after we learned more about the Nemeton, because everybody was like, oh my god, the Nemeton is attacking them, and it was really funny.
I mean, I've seen, like, he's done a few, like, single episodes of TV shows, and I find single episodes of TV shows quite difficult to watch unless they're, like, procedural crime things, which I'll get to in a moment, because I feel I need to know the plot to understand anything. But he seems to have done quite a few, like, comedy shows and things. Like, do you think that he could be, like, a full-on, like, comedic actor? Like,
you know what? I think he could. His personality, what I know about him, kind of lends itself towards that. Mm. And I think, like, he doesn't have a super comedic role in Teen Wolf. Mm. I mean, he's funny. He definitely has funny lines. But, you know, where Dylan is sort of, like, the comedic relief, Tyler is a bit more serious. But the little bit that I've seen from, like, gift sets and pictures and stuff on Tumblr and stuff like that, he seems like he's leaning towards that. He's been in a lot of comedic stuff, and I think he could pull it off. I think he could have a good job of doing both, actually, both dramatic work and comedic work.
Yeah, like, I always think that, yeah, his personality, he could do, he could do some pretty good, like, kind of like adult comedy, like not like, yeah, not necessarily like teen style comedy, but maybe like I could see him maybe like later down the line in like a Judd Apatow, or Apatow, I don't know how you say his name, movie, that kind of like, that kind of thing. Like not necessarily like stoner comedy, but like, yeah, kind of like adult based, something where he was like allowed to use sort of more adult humor, I think I could see really well. We've got a couple of more movies to mention, and then we've got some, like, single episodes of TV shows, some series that I've seen, some that Karen has seen, to talk about. I watched tonight Road to Perdition, which is Tom Hanks' movie. Basically, it's set in the 30s, and he's an Irish mobster from Chicago who basically, the son of his boss is, like, super unstable, and he shoots, like, two members of Tom Hanks' family, and him and his older son, who's played by Tyler Hoechlin at probably age about 13 or 14, basically, like, go on the run for 6 weeks and try and, like, cause revenge. And I was expecting, like, I've sort of seen clips of this before. It was a very famous movie, like, at the time, and Tyler Hoechlin apparently beat out about 2,000 or 3,000 other, like, young unknown kids for this role. And he was really good, like, in this. It was, like, it really surprised me. I mean, the opening shot was him, like, standing with his legs apart, like, soulfully staring out to sea. And Leo, who was watching me, goes, she's like, Derek, it's Derek! He's standing with his legs apart! But no, it was really, really cool. Like, Tyler Hoechlin, look, bless the man. But between Road to Perdition and Teen Wolf, even in Teen Wolf, his stuff has been a little bit, like, overdramatic. He's been in some really bad low-budget movies, which I have not seen, but my friend Audrey assures me are the worst movies of all time, including one called Grizzly Rage and one called Open Gate, where he's, like, a bull rider, like a cowboy.
I think he's a bullfighter. That's on my Netflix queue. I was going to watch it for this, but honestly, I couldn't bring myself to do it because I've heard just terrible things about it.
Apparently, real bad. And yeah. I don't.
Do you know if it's like the movie or if it's his acting?
I don't know. I just don't understand because this Road to Perdition was very renowned, and he got nominated for awards and stuff for it. So I don't understand why he didn't get picked up for like better things. I just don't. But yeah, I know the Open Gate is about, like, yeah, he's in, like, a bull riding ring and then it ends up being, like, about drug smuggling and then he gets a broken arm. That's what I got about that movie. I've seen GIFs. But, yeah, Road to Perdition is, so it's set in the 30s, so it's, like, a period, like, a costume drama. And basically it's him and Tom Hanks driving around, like, kind of father and son who don't really know each other that well because, like, fathers in the 1930s, especially, like, fathers who are in the mob when their children don't know they're in the mob, probably, like, weren't that close. Basically, the mother and the brother are killed, and they sort of have to drive around, and they sort of get to know each other and, like, take care of each other. And it's really nice. Like, I kind of expected it to be – it was directed by Sam Mendes. Again, big, big names in this. Like, Stanley Tucci's in this as well. So, you know, him and
– he's in everything.
apparently. But, like, other people – it's, like, Jude Law, Daniel Craig, Paul Newman, like – It was a very renowned film when it came out, but I am kind of like a bit at like gunslinging films, and I was kind of not stoked to sit down and watch it. I was like, I know I really should watch this because it's a very, very good reputation, but I was kind of not stoked to watch it, not because I thought it was going to be bad quality like Open Gate, but because it's generally, I didn't know how plot driven it was, and I don't really like shoot 'em up kind of things, but it is really cool, and it had a lot of really cool moments of like the growth of their relationship and stuff like that. And he was so good, Tyler. He was so good in it, and I was shocked. Like, I thought he would be like stilted and, you know, kind of like the average, you know, kid there to further the plot as opposed to like being important. But this kid was like the main character in the movie. Like, it was him and Tom Hanks, and he was really so good. Like, I was very impressed, and I was not expecting him to be that good, you know, given that everything that he's done has been kind of ridiculous, and even in Teen Wolf sometimes he's kind of ridiculous. I don't blame that on his acting though. I blame that on the character. It's a beautiful movie, like really nice, like on location Chicago scenery. Chicago's really cool if anyone's ever been there to the downtown is really old architecture, and all you have to do is pretty much like bring in some old cars and you can film a lot of movies there. Like last time I was in Chicago, I saw them filming a movie. The first time I was in Chicago, I saw them filming a movie. I don't know what movie they were filming last time I was there. I think it was actually like a Bollywood movie. I don't know why. First time I was there, I saw them filming on, like, they'd shut down the street and they were filming that, oh, what was it called? It was a Johnny Depp movie about, like, John Dillinger. Like, I can't remember what it was called.
I know what you're talking about, but I don't
know. Anyway, I didn't see Johnny Depp or anything. But, like, I saw the cars waiting around to go into the set and, like, you know, like, all that kind of, literally not looking for it, just walking past it. I've been through a film set, like, yeah, a bunch of times. In the this movie, like, the lobby of this hotel where the people were staying in, like, the elevator lobby that they kept going into, was, like, the lobby of, like, the Hilton Chicago, which is where LeakyCon was last year. So, like, I was just like, I know what that is. But aside from that, like, it was a really cool movie. I mean, it had a sort of sad ending and blah blah because, you know, repercussions and stuff. It was directed by like Sam Mendes, who did the most recent James Bond and who's done, and Skyfall I love. Like, I think it's the best James Bond that they've ever done for like so many reasons. It's very artful. Like, apparently he wanted to make a movie that didn't like rely too heavily on dialogue, and it's very beautiful looking movie. But Tyler Hoechlin was just so much better than I thought he would be. So yeah, he definitely had a lot of promise, and hopefully he will be able to continue to show that, because I'd really like to see what he could do in like a serious role, you know, something slightly less tongue-in-cheek hilarious than Derek, and you know, not, you know, a sad over-the-top movie about a bull-riding drug smuggler or something. But yeah, I would definitely recommend like Road to Perdition as probably like the quote-unquote like highest quality movie of any of the, like, that any of the cast have been in. It's very, like, it's got a very high standard, I think. It's obviously, he got to like drive around for 6 weeks with Tom Hanks. Like, there's this awesome scene of him, there's this awesome scene of like Tom Hanks basically teaching him to like drive the car, and apparently that like really happened. It was like, it wasn't a stunt driver or something like that. Let me just, I'll just double check the exact, yeah. Filming took place in the Chicago area. Mendes, having recently finished 1999's acclaimed American Beauty, pursued a story that had minimal dialogue and conveyed emotion in the imagery. Yeah, it had a lot of, like, symbolism, like, all sorts of stuff, you know, themes. Yeah, it was very imagey. It was very, like, you could probably do it as, like, a school, like, project, like, analysis. Basically, yeah, Tyler was 14 at the time of filming. For scenes where Hoechlin's character assisted his father as a getaway driver, Hoechlin was trained by a driving instructor. So there's, like, these really, like, hilarious scenes of basically Tom Hanks teaching him how to drive this old car and then him actually picking his father up and, like, driving off and stuff. And apparently it was really him. So he must have had fun bonding with Tom Hanks for however long it, you know, I wonder if he ever hears from him. Like, if he's like, Tom Hanks, please help me get out of this, you know, sad career as Open Gate star, you know, star of Open Gate. Because, yeah, it's very, like, it's very, very acclaimed, like, this film. It's very good. Yeah, it's like, yeah, as I said, Jude Law, Daniel Craig, Stanley Tucci. Yeah, it's quite a big deal. And I definitely would say anyone who likes, like, a good period drama to watch it. It's not, like, it's not an action movie. I don't love action movies, and I thought it might be a bit too action, you know, action movie for me, and it was not. It was really good. So yeah, I would definitely recommend that as probably the best film, you know, objectively, that anyone in Teen Wolf has ever done so far. So yeah, you didn't see that one yet, did you?
No,
I hadn't seen it before tonight. Like, I didn't see it at the time. I remember it coming out very clearly, but I didn't see it at the time. I guess what the only other movie that we put on the list that we've both seen is Save the Last Dance, which has Bianca Lawson, who plays Morel in the show, obviously. Yeah, I mean, you seem to remember this a bit more clearly. I remember the movie pretty well, like Julia Stiles, you know, racial issues, dancing, that kind of thing. but yeah, Bianca Lawson, what was her character and kind of what do you remember about that?
I love this movie. This is one of my favorite movies. I love movies about dance, and I love Julia Stiles. So this is one that I've watched several times. Bianca Lawson plays Nikki, who is the main guy's ex-girlfriend, and she's the really mean one, basically. She does not like Julia Stiles' character. And, I mean, she has a prominent role, but she doesn't, like, do anything, really. I mean, she's just there to sort of be an antagonist. But Bianca Lawson has sort of this track record of playing like teen characters, and I think that Teen Wolf is one of the first ones where she's sort of been able to play the adult. I remember reading an interview and she's like, yeah, it's pretty nice to be on the other side of the table now. She's like 34, but you wouldn't really guess that. She still looks pretty young. I think that she'd be able to play, you know, an early 20s character still.
Yeah.
And she was good, and yeah.
Now we've seen some random episodes of television, you know, with these characters. I mean, Bianca obviously had one of the biggest roles, that people knew her very well because she was in Buffy. She was Kendra, the first Slayer that was called after Buffy died at the end of season one, like for 5 minutes when she drowned, but technically died. And Kendra lived for a while and then was killed. But I never loved Kendra. I found her quite funny. Did you remember her very clearly from Buffy when you watched her on Teen Wolf or in other things? Have you always sort of, has that always stuck out or?
I didn't really know who she was because she looks very different from a lot of the things like Nikki and even Kendra. They have a very sort of 90s style to them, and they look like teenagers, you know, and like Miss Morale is always very put together and very sleek. And so I didn't recognize her, but like once I figured out who she was, yeah, I knew exactly who she had been on Buffy. And Kendra, yeah, she didn't really do a whole lot for me. I liked her character well enough, and I think she had some good moments in the series, but I think, yeah, I would say Buffy and Save the Last Dance is where I know Bianca from the most.
I mean, Kendra, although she didn't have like a huge part, you know, isn't in there for that long, is very iconic in Buffy and in sort of Buffy culture because she is one of the Slayers, because she was actually a Slayer. I also remember her from Dawson's Creek. She was in it for a little while as this character again called Nikki, but I can't remember, you know, the precise use of it, but I do remember at the time being like, oh my God, that's Kendra from Buffy in Dawson's Creek. But you say she's been in Vampire Diaries as well, which I have not seen, as you know.
Right. Yeah, she plays oh gosh, names.
Says Emily here.
Yeah. She plays Bonnie's sort of ancestor. She's a witch, and she's the one that had worked with the Salvators. And I believe she was the one that had given them the ring so that they could go out in daylight. Not a huge part in the series, but sort of significant. And when I was watching it, I didn't know who she was or anything. I don't even think I recognized her there either from like any of the other things I've seen, like Buffy and Save the Last Dance. But I mean, good enough. It was interesting to see her and to know now that she had been in that, but nothing like groundbreaking or anything. It was a fairly minor part.
Okay, not like long running.
No, I mean, she was in several episodes, but it wasn't like she was a main character or anything.
Okay, cool. Speaking of random episodes, I remember I was recently watching in the last few months, I've been going through Castle, like watching it mainlining it from the beginning to the end in order. And there's just a random episode of Castle where Tyler Hoechlin basically shows up. He plays the violin teacher of Alexis, who is Castle, like Nathan Fillion's daughter. And he is so jolly and friendly and amazing, and it's just he opens the door and he's smiling. And he's like, "I'm so and so," blah blah. And I just screamed. I was just like, "I can't handle it. Close the door again, Castle. Close the door. Stop it." You know how awkward it was in Teen Wolf when he didn't really smile in Road to Perdition either. He was very serious. It was very dramatic. You know in Teen Wolf how we like laugh hysterically because we can't handle it whenever he like smiles. Like it
Yes.
was just he's so if you can watch like if you don't know Castle and you can watch like single episodes of crime shows because it's a procedural and you basically know they're gonna solve a murder and these are characters who, you know, there's a guy, he has a daughter, he works with this police team, he's a writer. That's all you need to know. It is really cool and Nathan Fillion is amazing and the cast is like bromantastical. It's fantastic. But anyway, Tyler Hoechlin is in this random episode and I will find you the title of the episode. Hold on.
It's gonna be so weird to just see him smiling. Because, I
It
mean, that's what he's like, you know, in real life. Like, he is very happy, very
Yeah,
smiley sort
it's
of
so
guy.
like that. It's so like that. His character was called Dylan, and the episode was season 2, episode 4, called Fool Me Once. And basically his the episode story, basically the episode story of the murder always relates to like in some way something that's going on, like, in a mirror of, like, something in Castle's personal life. For example, they sort of find out it's about, like, a mystery at a school and, like, not knowing what's really happening, and Castle sort of turns around and sort of has this, like, issues with his daughter, like, he doesn't know who this violin teacher is and that why she's so eager on him, and I think he thinks she's, like, 14, and I think he thinks that she's gonna, like, try and mack on this guy who's, like, a at least meant to be, like, a college student, like, teacher. He goes to Juilliard, and he's, like, too good-looking, you know, you need an old lady teacher or something like that. But he's just, he's not in very many scenes, he's only in, like, two scenes, but he's just so jolly and friendly and, like, plays the violin. I don't think he really plays it, but it's, like, it's super amusing. You have to see it. It's amazing.
I've been meaning to watch Castle for a while just because I love Nathan Fillion.
Watch it from the beginning because it's amazing, but
yeah,
you will like it. Now, what else as far as episodes go? You've seen, as we talked about, Bianca Lawson in Buffy. How about Once Upon a Time?
Yeah, Cinque was in that. He played Boyd, obviously. And in Once Upon a Time, he played Lancelot. And it was, I think he was in two episodes. It was a pretty minor role. But it was really cool seeing him outside of Teen Wolf. And it was not a huge difference from Boyd, because Lancelot was very sort of stony and big and burly. But it was just cool seeing him all decked out in armor, and I think he did smile a lot more. And he was sort of friends with Snow White, like they had a past. And there might be a chance that he could be on a bit more, I mean, in flashbacks at least.
Did he die in the show?
Yes, kind of.
Okay.
It's
Arthurian. It's complicated. He's from Arthurian legend. No one ever really dies in that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, I have not seen Once Upon a Time, so that's kind of cool. Like, I'm quite interested in that, and, like, yeah, it would be cool if he could return to that, seeing as he does not have anything going on at the moment. As far as I know he's filming a couple of things, but nothing sort of as high profile as Teen Wolf or Once Upon a Time. Apparently he's been in quite a lot of things as a younger actor that I didn't know about, like quite a lot of the shows that were big in the early 2000s. Like, he was in Friday Night Lights for a little bit, and he was in Secret Life of the American Teenager, which I don't know what this show is, but when I was looking through this, apparently like three or four actors from Teen Wolf have been in Secret Life of the American Teenager at a time. I was really confused by it. Like, not in the, I don't know if they were acting together, but it was like really, really weird.
I've heard a lot about that show recently, mostly because like that's where Shailene Woodley came from.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that was the
Maybe
show.
Maybe we should watch it. But yeah, apparently Keahu was in it. Cinque was in it. Another thing that a bunch of people were in, like, was that I don't know what this is, but a TV show about a girl who's a cat, The Nine Lives of Chloe King, which was apparently going to be made into a movie but didn't, and there were some stories about that, like, recently. But, like, there's, like, two or three actors from Teen Wolf who have been in a random episode of that show. So I'm wondering if, like, the casting agent was, like, the same for all these shows and they had, like, a few people in the books. These are not shows I've seen, so please tell us if they're any good and should be watching. Friday Night Lights, I know, is apparently amazing. I just have not happened to see it. Then, talking of random episodes, though, Holland Roden, I watched earlier today, she's in an episode of Cold Case, and Cold Case is really, really easy show to watch, like, single episodes. It's one of the only shows that I can, like, if it's on TV, I can just say, oh, yeah, I can sit down and watch this and just care about the plot of the case they're solving rather than whatever, like, the personal drama is with the, I don't even know the names, the characters of the, like, police in it. But, like, yeah, crime shows, like, Law & Order, SVU, Cold Case, stuff like that, I can watch, like, really easily without it being, like, I am intensely watching you in order. And there's very few shows I can do that with unless I know the show well, or it's, like, The Simpsons or something. Really, really cool episode of Cold Case about a girl who was murdered in... Cold Case, for those who don't know, is a cop show about this woman who was, like, assigned to you know, this sort of pointless department of cold cases of, like, murders that were never solved, and she, like, one by one solves them all, like, nowadays. Like, they might be from the 40s or the 70s or 10 years ago or whatever. This, a cold case, obviously, being a murder that is not solved. This girl, Holland, is the main character. She's the victim. So she's in it a lot. Like, she's, you know, tells her entire story. And she was so cute in it. She was meant to be about 15, and it was about, had to be about 5 years ago, so she would have been probably about 18 or 20 at the time when it was filmed. She was so sweet. She was kind of this tomboyish girl who was really into roller skating, because in the 70s, roller skating was big. Like, you go to the, like, roller rink, and you can do, like, racing, or you can go to, like, club nights and all kind of stuff. And she sort of is really tomboyish and sweet. Like, she looks so cute in this, like, long T-shirts and jeans and, like, just her hair. She looked really good for the 70s. Like, she should be in, like, that kind of, like, 60s and 70s movies or something like that. And then, she was really sweet, like, natural. It wasn't heavy-handed at all. It was, like, a really, you know, cool episode. But the interesting thing I found about it, as the credits were coming up that I didn't know, is that John Posey, Tyler Posey's dad, was in the same episode of Cold Case. It was really weird.
Oh.
Like, he played, obviously we've seen him on Teen Wolf in the miniseries, the web series, playing the doctor that knew about the werewolves, which I think that would be a great character to bring back. But
yes.
He played the older version. Like, basically what happens in Cold Case is most of the people have their version at the time that the murder happened, saying this was like 1978, and then the people today, so they need to cast like an older version of it. And he basically, John Posey, played like today's version, like the old version of the DJ at the club who, where Holland Roden's character was skating, and who was kind of like macking on her and hitting on her, and kind of turned out to rape another girl, so that's, yay, not good. But, it was just weird, like, that his character was kind of, like, sleazing on Holland, and he's Tyler Posey's dad. Obviously, it wasn't, they didn't have any scenes together because she was already dead in the bit where he was playing the older version. But it was just, I was just like, is that, wow, that's so weird. That's, like, really, really cool. But she was, if you like Holland, like, go and watch her episode of Cold Case, because she's so cute. She just looks amazing, and she just does a really sweet job. The character was just very, very lovely, and you know, sometimes crime shows are, like, super overdramatic and really a little bit ridiculous, but I always really, really like Cold Case, and she was so nice in it, so I really, really enjoyed it. It's probably, like, yeah, my favourite, like, my favourite single episode of a thing that I've watched for an actor that I like. Like, Darren Criss has one of the few things that Darren Criss did before he was cast on Glee was he was in an episode of Cold Case as well, and was one of the people, you know, in the I think the 60s, like the flashbacks. He was one of the characters. His was not very good. Not his fault, but it was just not very good. This is way better. This episode of Cold Case is way, way, way better than Darren Criss's episode of Cold Case. So go and watch that if you love Holland, because she looks so sweet and she plays such a cute character, and you could make the sweetest gifts out of this episode, I swear to God.
I really want to see more of the things that she's been in. Like, I know she's been in Bring It On, Fight to the Finish, which, mm-hmm. I mean, who's watched any Bring It On movie after the first one?
Apparently,
but actually, I think I have, now that I say that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I've seen, like, gift sets of her, like, dancing and stuff, and it just looks really cute and funny, and she looks so much younger, and I really want to see her in it.
She seems quite physically talented. Like, I'm very curious as to whether, you know, the ice skating scene in Teen Wolf, if people know if that's really her or not, because she was roller skating in this, and a lot of it, like, didn't seem like a stunt double. Like, she seemed to have quite a lot of skills. It wasn't, like, you know, hardcore stuff, but, like, doing some moves, like, you know, down on her, like, one ankle and stuff like that. Like, and I'm really curious as to how much of that was, like, doubles, because she was really good, and if she can roller skate and ice skate, like, these seem to sort of go hand in hand, and I'm quite curious about that, so... Yeah, it was good. It was a good episode. So yeah, I'd watch the Bring It On, Fight to the Finish as well. I'd totally watch that. So I'm gonna try and find that, because I looked that up on Wikipedia today as well. And I was like, oh, is her character like the mean girl who like doesn't like the main character? But no, her character is one of the like the allies of the main character. So I'm glad that she's not like the bitchy mean girl. She's like a nice girl. So yeah, she's so sweet in the, I cannot get over how cute she is in the Cold Case episode though. She's just such a sweet girl. What else? What else do we have?
I think a lot of the other stuff is like shorts and web stuff.
Yeah, okay. And then we'll get to the, I guess. Do you not watch New Girl? Did you not see Dylan's episode of New Girl?
No, I didn't. I mean, I love New Girl, but it's just one of those things that I sort of, like, gave up on accident. And I still want to watch it, and I mean, obviously I really want to see Dylan's episode, but I just haven't gotten there yet.
It's so good, Karen. Like, not just his episode, I mean, in general, the episode. Dylan's episode of New Girl is, like, I don't know, it's kind of weird. It was, but you sort of spend the whole episode thinking that, like, he's the person that lost, Jess lost her virginity to. It's basically, the episode is called Virgins, and it's about apparently people losing their virginity, and it's really weird to see him acting alongside Zooey Deschanel, like she's meant to be like 18 or 20, like in the flashbacks, but she plays herself and she's like 30 now or whatever. And then he plays himself, obviously. And so it's kind of weird to see them like acting as a couple. They sort of meet in like a hotel hallway and he's like playing the guitar and being all like geeky cool, not in like an arrogant way, in kind of like a soulful way. It's his character is like really overdone on purpose, and then watch the episode because it has a really funny ending, but you may or may not have seen like screen caps or gifs of them like stuck in a like children's playground. It's New Girl in general is such a good show. It's a lot of like 20-minute comedies are ones that I think people like randomly watch an episode of and kind of like, oh, I can like, you know, I could just turn this on or not. New Girl has such a good like slow build of all of the characters that it is definitely worth like watching in order. But his episode is very cute and very funny and ridiculous, and it seemed like he had a lot of fun. And again, like Tyler Posey, I think that Dylan would be really cool in like an adult-based comedy, like an adult humor comedy rather than a teen comedy. Not that Teen Wolf is a teen comedy. I think that the material of Teen Wolf is really good for both of them. But like, if you were going to take them out of Teen Wolf and put them in like a teen show, like a, I don't know, like a Nickelodeon comedy show, you know, about teens, or like something sort of based at that demographic rather than something where they're kind of playing adults, like college or young adults, where they are dealing with adult humor, I think that it would be a lot better for that.
Yeah. I'm really excited to see him in New Girl just because I know they do a lot of improv on the set. Mm-hmm. And I think that he is, I mean, he's done some improv lines and stuff, very minor stuff on Teen Wolf, but I think he's very suited to that sort of thing. So I just think it would be cool to see him in more stuff like that.
Well, I think I read that High Road was nearly all improv.
Okay, that was something I didn't mention, but I meant to, was that movie, the acting in that movie was incredible. Maybe it was because it was all sort of like on the fly, but it was so natural. All of the dialogue and stuff was just, it felt so real. And I mean, you get like a lot of big budget movies and stuff, and you sort of like, you can see the script in your head, you know, because it's just like the dialogue is very pointed. It's, you know, this had a lot of natural sort of like inflections, and just the things that they did was really, really good. So yeah, I was wondering if there was a lot of improv in that just because the story sort of seemed perfect for that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the facts on it exactly, but I know I read it somewhere, and definitely like I've just looked it up, and it's like billed as like improv movie, and I guess like a lot of the people were like comedians and stuff like that, and so that's really cool. I am definitely gonna have to watch that, but yeah, I think that would be really, really, really cool for them, for Dylan to do more of that. And it's cool that it was his first film as well. He seems to be very open to that kind of creativity.
Yeah,
I guess the other thing that we watched is a few shorts and things like that, like, and then we're going to give a little bit of chat about some upcoming projects, like big upcoming projects. So First of all, I just wanted to mention the weird video Ian Bowen made that like starts out with like, "Oh, I'm a sleepover with Holland Roden." Not that it's necessarily with him; you only see her. Though they do have a very close friendship and have apparently been rumored to be dating. I don't know if that's a thing, but I enjoy their friendship. They seem to hang out and be cool. And she made this video for him, like a short film that he wanted to make, that starts out like, "Oh, I'm waking up at a guy's house and I'm all feeling it this morning." And then I think that she does a murder. Is that what happens at the end of that video? Like,
No, she opens this box and sees like all these weapons inside.
Yeah. I was trying to remember whether she was like getting the weapons to do a thing or if she discovers them in this guy's place.
She just discovers them.
So it's kind of really weird. I mean, she looks great and it's got nice cinematography, but it was like a really weird twist, I guess. and a warning to not just like go home with random guys that might have like crates full of weapons in their closet.
Yeah. Basically, like, this is going to sound kind of bad, but it could be Lydia and Peter. Like, that's kind of what it reminded me of because, like, I don't know. She just sort of wakes up and everything's very beautiful. And yeah, the cinematography is gorgeous in this. And then she like opens up this box full of like, there's guns and knives and they look well used.
It's
and
so then you sort weird. Of see,
you sort of see like Ian kind of pop out from the side and he's like looking up through his eyes and all I could think was like, oh my God, Peter's right behind you. And it was just, it was weird, but I really liked it for some reason.
I mean, it looks great. I don't know if it's meant to be, like, funny, like, if it's meant to be, like, a humorous, like, thing, so. Or, like, or what, because it was very, very odd, but oh well. And then you got to watch a couple of those Funny or Die things as well.
Yeah.
Like, the Sexy Dark Ages.
Which was really stupid.
and that's Daniel Sharman. I have seen many a gif of him in the puffy shirt thing. and then the Blockhead's Revenge, which was pretty big, like, when, like, in the Teen Wolf fandom, like, it sort of came out once Teen Wolf started, because obviously it has Dylan, Hecklin, and Holland in it. What comic is that? Is it Charlie Brown, isn't it? Like, it's
yeah,
meant to be. What did you think of that one?
Yeah, I saw this Blockhead's Revenge when it first came out, but I kind of forgot, like, what it was about other than I knew that Dylan was Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
And so I rewatched it, and it was more ridiculous than I remembered it. But it was really funny. Basically, it's about Charlie Brown, played by Dylan, who he's feeling really weird and left out, and they're all basically adults, adult versions of these characters, and like, you know, the one kid still has like the blanket and they're very much the same, but it's like they're drinking and they're like making out and stuff, and basically Charlie Brown goes around and starts killing all of his friends, and it's hilarious, but it's also really creepy and dark, and I think Dylan, like, he did a really good job of being that creepy guy who's, like, murdering people.
Oh, it good. Wasn't yeah, super cool.
Over the top. It was, like, actually kind of frightening. But part that I couldn't get over was Hecklin in that blonde wig. I was like, what are you doing? This is so weird.
They have fun. I don't know how Funny or Die works. Like, is it, like, do you just make videos and submit them, or are they mates with someone who, like, makes it, like, you know, who writes, who's like, can you guys come and do this Funny or Die video? Like, how, I don't know how Funny or Die works. It confuses the hell out of me, but
yeah, I think that, like, Funny or Die is, like, a project of some actor, like, you know, Andy Samberg or Will Ferrell or something like that. I'm not really sure. And then, yeah, I think they just, like, get people together, you know, write scripts and stuff. I don't necessarily think that it's like you submit a video, but I'm sure it's like a partnership and people just sort of like talk and things work out that way.
Because they seem quite, you know, they got enough people to get, they always get really, really funny stuff. Like, they managed to get really big people in on it. Like, I guess anyone who has an interest in like comedy, you know, they always get them in there. And, I mean, speaking of improv stuff, you sat down and watched some of Dylan's, like, videos, like the Movie Kid videos, the ones that he left up on YouTube. What did you
really
think?
Really quick. Really quick, I just want to say, yeah, Funny or Die is a comedy video website founded by Will Ferrell and Adam McKay's production company, Gary Sanchez Productions, with original and user-generated content. So that's, yeah, and it says, like, Funny or Die contains exclusive material from a number of famous contributors, Judd Apatow, James Franco, and has its own Funny or Die team, which creates original material for the site. So, yeah. Not usually my cup of tea, because, like I said, comedies aren't really my favorite, especially when they're, like, over the top. But I really liked the Blockheads Revenge one. It was pretty hilarious.
Yeah. Maybe they shall do another one or something, you know, with someone else. I've seen quite a few really hilarious ones. I think the first time it ever came to my attention was there was a Zac Efron one that was, like, phenomenal. And he was really, like, taking the mickey out of himself in it. And there's been, like, James Vanderbeek as well, who is one of my favorite people. He's so funny about, like, himself, like, in a self-deprecating way, like, because of Dawson's Creek. He's such a good comedian. And but the Zac Efron one was just like, I was just like, I love you. Like, he was so, so good in it. And it just, anyway, it was just great. And yeah, he does have really good content. Like, I feel like it's, like, quite a cool, like, outlet for, you know, celebrities who might want to, like, do something a bit, like, they wouldn't be allowed to do in any other circumstance, kind of, like, outrageous or whatever, and it's cool. But, yeah, I mean, user-generated content, Dylan's YouTube videos from when he was, like, 15-ish, like, what did you think of that?
It was so hard to watch them. Like, I have a lot of trouble with what Brooke calls the secondhand embarrassment thing, like, when, award shows and they're just like totally making fun of, well, not making fun of themselves, but just being ridiculous. And like, I can't like look at the screen. It's so difficult for me. This was really hard to watch, but, and like, it wasn't really what I was expecting either. Cause a lot of it had to do with like this other YouTuber named Katie. And it was like a lot of responses to her videos, but it was interesting seeing him so young and sort of seeing like his personality kind of coming about a bit more, and you could definitely like see a bit of styles in him, which was really interesting. Some of the ones that I really liked are the ones that were either really short, like when he's like writing on the Christmas tree and he's like, no, he was really sad about that, or, you know, probably his most famous video was the Spice Girls one, which was totally ridiculous and really, really funny. And then I liked the last video he did, the one about how to make a YouTube video. I thought that was really creepy in some places, but really, really funny.
Yeah, I thought he was like really natural, like in a really, like, he's clearly very inherently like talented as a performer, like, you know, kind of person. Because this was kind of back in the day when like YouTube was like not that big a resource. It wasn't like every single person like had, you know, it was a vlogger. Like the people who were vloggers, he was known as a vlogger, not hugely, but there were definitely like people who in the, you know, at the time, especially with that Katie girl, she was quite famous as a vlogger, and the fact that he was interacting with her like was a thing. And what you said about secondhand embarrassment, I just want to put this out there because I'm actually curious, like, to poll this. Is there anyone at all listening to this show that calls that secondhand embarrassment the MOTS, as in you are giving me the MOTS, as in MOTTS? Because this is a word that my entire friendship group uses, and I know where we got it from. It was from this guy in this band, like, posting a blog about it. But I don't know if it was him and his friends that invented it, or if it was, like, a thing that is a wider slang that he just happened to mention. But it basically, we're like, oh my god, that's so motsy, or oh my god, it's really giving me the mots. And that's that secondhand embarrassment thing. And I need to know if anyone else uses this term. So I'm just using my platform right now to ask about the mots. But basically, let me read you a thing out of the vlog that it came from.
That's really weird, because, like, that's like applesauce.
I know, and I don't know.
I don't get it.
I just literally Googled it. It says, I realized that it's also very unnerving to watch people act on television. It gives you the mots. The best way to describe the mots is like this. Do you remember the first time you watched a bad daytime interview show like Springer or something? and someone is just making a total ass out of themselves or doing or saying something very uncomfortable, or when you're sitting through a high school talent show and all of a sudden you feel embarrassed by a classmate who's singing The Greatest Love of All, you sometimes want to cover your eyes or look away, that's the MOTS. Anyway, it's totally like, yeah, it's absolutely like that secondhand embarrassment, like, oh my God, I can't handle this kind of thing. And I need to know if people use this term or if it's literally just the people I know, because it's very much like my extended friendship group. Like, nearly everyone I know from those kind of fandoms uses it. But I don't know if it was just like because of this guy in this band or if it's like a wider slang term that he just happened to use that now I know. So I'm really curious about that. But
just makes me think of applesauce. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I think it's to do with the applesauce in some way. I don't. Apparently, it was to do with like an old commercial of the applesauce. But regardless, I'm sorry that Dylan's YouTube videos give you the MOTS.
It sounds like a disease, honestly. Yeah. Well, like, oh, I just got the MOTS.
Secondhand embarrassment is a disease. But yeah, I think it was very clear. Like, and I love the stuff with his parents, like when he managed to make his parents like do stuff. And he's just really, yeah, that kind of like performance element of it. Like, it's, and he did it all himself. He's clearly very proactive about his kind of talent, and I really enjoy that. I think that it really shows that he is kind of made to do what he's doing, and I really enjoy that.
Yeah, he seemed a lot more confident than I thought he would have been, because, I mean, to kind of, like, it was sort of a joke and everything, the whole thing with Katie, but, like, even to put that out there and to do those sort of things, I think not everybody could.
Yeah.
And so for him to have the confidence to do that was really surprising to me, because I'd never really pegged him as that kind of person.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously I don't really know him, so, you know, whatever. But I was kind of impressed too. And I saw a lot of styles in there, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah. I know there was a video later. I think it was on that Katie Girls channel, like, because she kept sort of vlogging. I think he had a lot more videos and he took like a lot of them down, but like left up what he wanted to. But I think I saw a video with her later on that was like them meeting after she moved to LA to do vlogging or whatever it is she does. And he was living in LA because he was from California, and also he'd already got Teen Wolf. It was like them meeting, and I think it was like maybe after the first season of Teen Wolf or during the first season of Teen Wolf. So clearly that did continue as a friendship. But I just, yeah, found that interesting that like, you know, it was definitely part of that very sort of small vlogging community that started to come up several years ago before it became like every second person who's seen a Hank Green video decides to like be a vlogger. And it's sort of it's not a bad thing, like, if people want to use that to like express themselves. But like, it used to kind of be like there were people who were vloggers that you watched. It was kind of like small enough to keep up with, if you know what I mean. Like, it wasn't like just, oh, people's random blogs. It was, this is a form of entertainment, and that's what these people do. And then obviously more and more people were like, hey, this is a medium I can use for free and to create, and that's really cool. But obviously the more of it that happens, the less people kind of make a quote-unquote career out of it. I don't really understand like vlogging as a career, but You know what I mean? Like, it's much bigger now as just a general, like, social media tool. And when he was doing it, it wasn't. It was, like, a very small group of people, and there were people who watched it, and there were people who made it. Like, it wasn't as interactive. And that girl who he was vlogging with was very well known at the time. So, yeah, the video with them meeting and, like, hanging out, her video, if that's still around, is also kind of interesting. It's not a performance-based one. It's more of, like, a real-life vlog, but it was kind of interesting to follow up on that. I guess that's kind of it, besides from the upcoming stuff that we want to talk about, though. I just want to mention a few things that I know are like quite a big deal that you may have seen or may not have seen. Obviously we've got Colton, who is left Teen Wolf to go and do Arrow. I haven't seen Arrow at all. I'm considering starting to watch it because Grant Gustin, who played Sebastian on Glee, who I think is like one of the like most complex and like nuanced actors Glee has had in like a long time, and that they like wasted his character really badly. He's brilliant, and he's going to be the Flash, like the young Flash on Arrow. So I'm considering like tuning in to like see what happens and like going back and watching it. I haven't seen him on Arrow, but it does, it's got like really, it's done better than I thought it would. Like, I don't know if it's like just like a mainstream thing, like if it's like something that like kind of, because I haven't seen much fandom for it at all, like, but it may be something that like mainstream, like just non-fandomy people watch, because it's, I saw something recently that it was like second highest rated show or something, and or something like second highest you know, rated, like, you know, new season premiere or something, and I was just like, wow, really didn't think, I really thought this would flop. Oh, well. So Colton on Arrow is something we could be checking out. Another really big, huge thing that is a show that already exists that is quite notable is The Wire, which is a very, 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 I think it's set in Baltimore, and it's a show about, it's kind of a show about like crime and police. It's not a procedural crime drama. It's a hardcore like drama show. But Seth Gilliam, who plays Deaton, is a lead in The Wire. And The Wire is, it's so renowned. Like, it is absolutely like it has a 9.4 out of 10 on IMDb, which is like massively high. It like makes grown men cry. Like, it's really. It was HBO, and it's a really big deal show. Like, it's very, 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 and it's it had Idris Elba, like Dominic West, like it's got a great cast, but, and I haven't seen all of it, but it's a really, really, really like incredibly intense, incredibly renowned, very realistic show. Like, it's noted for the like quote unquote gritty realism, but again, not in a way that's convoluted. It really honors like the kind of people and stories that they're trying to show, and it's very, very, very emotional and pretty intense. So Seth Gilliam was a lead on The Wire, and I've heard people sort of vaguely mention like that his character is obviously nothing like that of Teen Wolf, but that's something you can check out as well. But as for upcoming things, we have a few of our cast coming in some pretty big projects. Obviously, the biggest is Dylan O'Brien getting the lead in what may or may not be the next big dystopian post-apocalyptic teen movie, which apparently is the new Vampires. Post-apocalyptic stuff is the new Vampires. but The Maze Runner, which I haven't read, but Karen has. So tell me about what's going to happen in The Maze Runner and like what his character is meant to be like.
The Maze Runner is a pretty good book. It didn't blow me away or anything, but the main character's name is Thomas, and basically he shows up in this place, doesn't know who he is or what's happened in his past, basically has no memories from before, and he shows up there, and it's this community of teenagers. I think they're all around maybe 16, although it kind of varies. Like, there's some younger ones, some a little bit older. And basically, there's this maze, and they every day go out to try to figure out how to escape the maze. And they have these people called runners, and like, that's their job. Everybody there has a job. It kind of feels very Lord of the Flies, but a lot less violent. But the kids basically like run their little like town thing, and everybody has a job, and the runners are like the most important because they go out into the maze, map it, and try to figure out how to escape. And like, there are these creatures that come during the night, and so they have to like close up the access to the maze so that they're all safe and everything like that at night. And Thomas shows up, and he, you know, eventually becomes a runner, and they sort of figure out. But, like, him arriving there and some of the other things that follow basically starts this chain of reactions of kind of ending what has been going on for a really long time. And it's a good book. It's a trilogy. I haven't read the second and third book yet. I'm definitely going to, though. It's something that I think could end up being pretty interesting. It's definitely a different kind of concept than I've read before. I've read quite a few dystopian things, and it's really interesting, the ending and what happens there. In terms of like Dylan playing Thomas, I'm really, really excited to see him in this because it's not a comedy. And I think that as he's gone on, first you had The High Road, which was, you know, a comedy. I mean, it has some very serious undertones, but it's a funny movie. And then obviously The Internship is very funny. The First Time is a little bit more mellow than the other ones. There are some pretty funny, like, scenes there, but it's nothing like, you know, not a huge comedy. This, I think, is more of like a franchise, something that is supposed to be, it's a sci-fi movie, and I'm really excited to see him take on a much more serious role, and just to see him kind of expand, like, his acting chops and stuff. I think it's going to be really interesting. I would recommend the book. Don't expect it to be, like, The Hunger Games or anything like that, but I think it's worth reading. Just I basically read it when I found out that Dylan was going to be in the movie. That was my motivation.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to try and read it before the film comes out. And that film has completed filming. It's in post-production, and it was filmed in Louisiana in kind of the swampy area. What is the character of Thomas like? Does he have a personality? Like, if he doesn't remember who he is, like, does he have anything, like, is there any particular scenes that you're, like, looking forward to seeing Dylan do, or, like, things that you remember?
He's pretty heroic. I think that he doesn't really conform to the beliefs that the other kids kind of hold on to survive. He's more of like a rebel. He's not anything, like, he doesn't really stand out a whole lot. I think some of the other characters are a bit more, they have a bit more personality, but I think, like, Dylan's obviously probably going to bring a lot to the character once we see him on screen, but he doesn't really conform, and I'm looking forward to some of the scenes that I don't want to give away the plot for. But I'm definitely excited to see, like, how they handle the maze and stuff like that. I think that could be really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I have read the synopsis a couple of times, and it does remind me of Lord of the Fries in, like, the kind of, like, elected leaders and jobs and all of that kind of stuff. So I am quite curious, and, yeah, I will have to get the book sometime pretty soon. And be interesting if this turns into, like, a massive, like, Hunger Games-style franchise, or if it just sort of it just sort of slides under the radar, because sometimes, you know, big sci-fi things, like, I know, I remember, like, I Am Number 4, which was, like, Alex Pettifer, and that was, like, a popular, like, sci-fi-ish book, and that movie came out, and it was quite high budget, and it just didn't take off as, like, a franchise, but this might, you know, we don't know. It's not, like, a crazy bestseller like The Hunger Games, but it has potential, so I'm quite interested.
It definitely has potential, and I think it's so interesting to see him going from basically the high road and The First Time to something like The Internship with Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson, who are huge names, especially in the comedy world, to now he's heading up The Maze Runner, which could potentially be a giant franchise. So I think it's really exciting for his career, if nothing else.
Yeah. I think, yeah, it is pretty, like, pretty extreme. I was pretty, like, shocked that, you know, not shocked that he got cast in, like, oh, how could he? But, like, you know, of course he could get cast in anything he wanted. I was just, like, very surprised. I'm like, oh, my God, this is, like, really high profile, I think. So, yeah, I was quite surprised. A couple of other upcoming ones. One thing I'm really looking forward to is Adelaide Kane, who obviously played Cora. She is, you know, not going to be in season 3B, her and Derek are off existing, and she may not come back, but she's heading up Rain, which is a period drama. I love period dramas. Apparently it's, like, going to be on the CW, which I don't know about, like, British period dramas made by American channels. Like, I have no idea how that's going to go. Most of the period drama stuff that I like is, like, going to be European, and it's going to be have been made by Europeans, if you know what I mean. And so I'm a little bit curious, but this is basically the story of Mary, Queen of Scots. And I have a personal vested interest in this because Mary, Queen of Scots was, for at a time, basically no one cares, Natalie, but the Tudor, she was Queen of Scotland at the time. The Queen Elizabeth I was Queen of England, and there was this whole, like, threat of whether she was going to, like, try and usurp, and even though she was, like, brought up in the French court and wasn't really, like, even a part of the UK. And anyway, it's that time period, and she is clearly about her early life, because there are people who's cast as the French court where she lived when she was young. But anyway, after she was, like, held prisoner for years, to make sure she didn't try and usurp Elizabeth, she was held for a time in Bolton Castle in Yorkshire, in Wensleydale, and that is my family's castle. Like, I come from on my mother's side, like, a British noble family. Not in a, like, oh, I'm, you know, Lord Winchester or whatever, but it's a rare surname that is, like, a British noble family, and I have, like, a pedigree on my mother's side. Like, I'm not in any way in line for anything, but it's like, the family is Scroope, spelt Scroope, and it, like, there was a Scroope mentioned in Shakespeare. Like, there's all sorts of stuff. It's a very, 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 very old British noble family, and one of the seats of my line of that family is Mary Queen of Scots was, like, lived there for quite a long time, and so that's interesting to me, because I'm really obsessed with, like, medieval stuff anyway, so having a connection to it is really exciting for me. But besides from that, it's got a really good cast, actually. Adelaide Kane is Mary. And then the guy who's playing the King Francis, like the Dauphin Francis, the French prince who she was marrying, is called Toby Regbo, who's, I know, is a young British actor who's very, like, he's got all of these, like, theatre awards. Like, I think he got a Laurence Olivier award or something like that. He also played the young Albus Dumbledore in Deathly Hallows, though they didn't get much screen time with that whole Dumbledore and Grindelwald thing. But yeah, I think he got nominated for some really big deal stuff in theatre a few years ago. So the acting standard is very high in this. Anna Popplewell, who was in, she was Susan in, like, the recent Narnia movies. She's in it. Caitlin Stacey is in it, who is an Australian actress who I'm quite familiar with from Australian things. And, I don't know why she's in it, but she is. Anyway, I'm basically just interested to see how, like, an American production company... It was shot in the UK and stuff, but I'm interested to see how, like, an American writer and, like, an American production company showing it for, like, an American station, like, channel, like the CW, will make a British period drama. Like, what kind of... Like, whether it'll be, like, really sensationalized or what they'll focus on or that kind of thing compared to, like, BBC period drama, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I don't know how excited I am about this. I was definitely intrigued when I first saw it, and I think the trailer looked interesting. I love history. I was a history minor. I was an art history major, but I just can't always watch, like, history, like, historical dramas. I don't tend to read, like, books based on history and stuff like that, but there's this one author that I really like. Her name's Alex Bracken. Mm-hmm. And and she wrote The Darkest Minds. And somebody was asking on her Tumblr if she was going to watch the show. And she was like, well, probably not. She said most reviewers are giving it about a C rating. Mm-hmm. And they're, I guess, like, while they're intrigued, they can't seem to get over how weird it is. I'm not really sure what that means. But she's basically like, I'm annoyed that Mary isn't a ginger. And she said that...
Yeah, she was a redhead IRL.
But... Yeah, and she said that, like, you know who wore their hair down like that in the 16th century? Prostitutes.
Yeah.
So I just don't know how, like, historically accurate it's going to be. Not that I would necessarily know that, but it's kind of off-putting that that maybe they didn't have, like, attention to detail like that. And I guess, like, Adelaide Kane said that... she said, how many teenage girls do you know who are obsessed with history? And Alex Bracken was like, me. I was. I wrote my college entrance essay about how much I love George Washington.
That's basically what I'm curious about, like, about the way that it'll be, like, marketed, basically, like, as, like, a historical fiction story, like, especially created by Americans, because I love period stuff. Like, I love it. It is absolutely, it's one of my most relaxing places, because I generally don't get very emotional about it. Like, I can just watch it and just really get immersed in it without, like, bursting into tears over something. Like, I just really, I just really enjoy, like costume drama. And I do read, like, a lot of historical fiction, like, you know, historical novels based on a lot of these, like, major characters, like, major people from the time. Very, very into it. And I like all eras, like, from, like, Victorian to, like, you know, pre-Tudor of, like, yeah, period drama. So I'm super into it. But this, again, I'm really thinking, like, that because it's an American production, that it's going to be a bit weird, and I'm quite curious as to what's gonna happen.
And it's on the CW, which really kind of struck me as strange, because, like, that's the network that has The Vampire Diaries and Supernatural and Arrow, and they've definitely got, like, a niche, and this just really doesn't seem to fit in there. And I don't know all of their shows. They could have other historical dramas on there. I really have no idea. But the things that they're most known for are Supernatural shows. And so I'm like, this is kind of random. But, you know, I hope it does well, at least for Adelaide Kane's, you know, for her. But
I mean, I feel like it might end up being a bit, like over-dramatized rather than, like, I love like, ones that are not as fact, not like docudrama factual, but like that really are quite like the accurate story, and that they haven't just like there's like a lead guy, like one of the main build cast seems to just be like this guy who they may have invented to make like a dramatic love triangle that didn't really happen in real life or something like that. And I don't know, I'm really interested because I'm very interested in this time period, and I know quite a lot of the actors, but this CW thing is throwing me a bit. But in hopefully a bit more promising news, the last thing we have about upcoming projects is Tyler Hoechlin has recently been cast in an indie movie that's going to be called Undrafted, which is basically about baseball. And I love sports movies. I hate sport, but I love sports movies. I don't know why. I'm
the same way, actually.
I can't watch sport, but I love sports movies. Like, the night that Wimbledon was on, I put on the movie Wimbledon and watched it instead of, like, watching the tennis, because I really like the movie. I don't know. I love, like, they managed to make it a great metaphor for, like, it's a great storytelling device. And I love, like, Varsity Blues. Like, I love baseball movies, like, I love all sorts of sports movies, but I don't actually like the sport. And Tyler Hoechlin, though, has a history with baseball. Like, he was going to be a pro baseball player and then he got injured or something. So it's cool that he's getting to, like, show off with baseball. But I'm super excited because he's co-starring with Aaron Tveit, who is just, how do I begin to explain Aaron Tveit? He's a god. He's a Broadway star. He was in the adaptation that, like, the film adaptation of Les Mis, he's predominantly a Broadway star. He was in Gossip Girl for a while, like, very briefly. I haven't seen Gossip Girl. One of the other leads in the movie is Chase Crawford, who was a big part of Gossip Girl, so I guess that's a connection. Like, he's one of the exec producers, so maybe he wanted Aaron specifically. But Aaron Tveit, he's just, I love him so much. He's just one of those, like, insanely talented and beautiful people in so many ways. I love musical theatre stars, and he played pretty much one of my favourite literary characters of all time in Les Mis. So I'm very excited to see Tyler work with him. I don't know what Aaron is going to be doing, if he's going to be a baseball player as well, and whether he has any experience with that. Very, very versatile actor. He's currently just done, like, a long series. It's just got commissioned for a second series called Graceland, which is, like, he's an FBI agent in training, and that's not, you know, theatrical at all. It's, like, a drama, like, and he's really, really good in that. Graceland, it was a show that aired this summer. You should watch it. But Tyler Hoechlin getting to do baseball stuff, he's probably pretty stoked on that. It's an indie film, like, and I don't think it's going to be, like, an quote-unquote indie film, like, open gate. Like, I think this actually has, like, the potential to be, like, a good and touching story. I can't work out if Hecklin is like the lead, if he is the person who it's about. Apparently it's a story of Undrafted is based on a true story of a promising young baseball player who discovers he was not drafted, but instead has an epiphany that changes his life forever. So that sounds a little bit overdramatic, but hopefully it'll be good. I don't know if Hecklin is the lead, or if that's going to be Chase Crawford or whatever. It would make sense if it was Tyler because he's very good at baseball, so they could take a lot of advantage of that, if you know what I mean. But I'm pretty stoked for him for that, so that's cool. And that's just started filming. I guess he's sort of flicking between that and Teen Wolf because he's definitely been on set for the baseball movie and a couple of people have met him there, or, you know, there's been one or two little filming pics posted on Facebook and stuff. So this is cool. I really hope that he has the opportunity to shine in this and to sort of show us what he's got. So, yeah, are you good for that one?
I mean, I'd give it a try. I love sports movies. Mm-hmm. I like baseball movies. But, I mean, yeah, probably just because he's in it, at least, I'd like to see it.
Yeah. I mean, I'd watch it for Aaron Tveit as well. Oh, Aaron Tveit also played, if you saw Howl, the James Franco, Allen Ginsberg biopic, he played, like, Peter, who is Allen Ginsberg's, like, long-term partner when they were young, when they first met. Sorry, I'm just, like, waxing lyrical about Aaron Tveit. You know, I really love Hecklin, and I really love Aaron Tveit, so it's just really cool that two people I really love are in a thing together. You know how that is. But, yeah, I mean, that's for now pretty much all we've got as far as the things we've seen. There's so much more, many more things. Like, another really big thing is Melissa Ponzio is on, like, The Walking Dead. I have not seen The Walking Dead. I do not like zombie stuff. I have no interest in The Walking Dead. People are obsessed with The Walking Dead, and she apparently has potential to go on for quite a bit. I don't know if she's filming that, like, concurrently with Teen Wolf, or if it's, you know, it's totally separate, you know, if she's working on it at all at the moment, but she apparently has the potential to stay on. So that's something you can check her out if you haven't already and you are into The Walking Dead. Any of these others that you're kind of keen to follow up on?
Yeah, there's a lot. Courtney, Danya, and Brooke have seen a lot of stuff that I haven't seen, and they've listed it all here. And there's quite a few things. I've watched the first two episodes of The Walking Dead. I am obsessed with zombies. I don't know why, because I don't generally like scary movies, but mm-hmm. for some reason, like, I just have this really weird obsession with zombies. I know Court, she's watched The Walking Dead, and she really, really likes it, so I would like to continue watching that. I'm not really big on a lot of the, like, the comedies that, you know, Posey has been in and stuff like that. Oh, I really want to see Crush with Crystal, though.
Is that meant to be good? What's that about?
That, she's like, I guess she has this crush on this guy, and this is just summarizing from, like, the very little I've seen, so I apologize to anybody who knows about this movie a lot more than me. But from what I understand, she really likes this guy, and he doesn't like her, something like that, and she's kind of crazy, and she kind of goes off the deep end, and I think she starts, like, stalking him and stuff.
Oh, good,
and,
yeah, cool.
And I think, like, she gets into it with his girlfriend or something. I don't know if she ends up, like, killing people or anything, but it looked really intense, and I'm just really excited to see her in something so different than Teen Wolf, than Allison, and I think that this is, like, well, I guess it's not totally on the opposite end of the spectrum, because she did get pretty dark with Allison mm-hmm. in season two, but this seems like on a whole nother level, but it looks pretty good.
Well, watch it and tell me if it's scary and, like, murdery, because I don't like thrillers and stuff very much, but we'll see. Like, I know Holland is in, like, House of Dust, which is, like, a full-on, like, psycho thriller murder horror movie, and oh, I'm wow. just, like, not going there, no thank you. Anyway, yeah, so let us know about that. I've not seen Friday Night Lights, and I know that I'm, like, meant to and stuff, but I will do that soon. But, like, all of those, like, other things, like Secret Life of the American Teenager, someone explained to me that, because I don't really know what it is, and apparently everyone ever has been in it. Tell us what you've seen that we haven't mentioned. that anything you like. What would be your number one rec out of everything that you like watched? Like, if you were gonna be like, yeah, guys, watch this thing.
Oh man, that's really hard because I really kind of want to recommend something that like Dylan's been in just because I think like he has this huge career ahead of him and he's done a lot of really cool projects. But honestly, I think I have to say Mortal Kombat because I love that movie. It's so dumb and it's just so awesome. And Lyndon is just perfect in it. So I would say, yeah, watch Mortal Kombat.
Okay. My rec, I think, is going to be White Frog because it's not very well known, but it's very, very good. Like, it's, as I said, it's a little tiny bit heavy-handed, but it's worth it. And if not, Holland's episode of Cold Case, as I said, it's great as a standalone. And she's, if you love her, she's just so cute that I can't even handle it. But, yeah, White Frog is a really beautiful movie, and all of the guys in it are really talented, and it's got a really good message, and it's really, really cool. And it surprised me, and it made me emotional. It was really nice. So that would be my rec out of everything that I watched. Road to Perdition as well is beautiful, like very, very well done movie. But, yeah. So, I mean, we'll try and watch some more stuff at a time, I guess, and maybe come back with another one of these, you know, next hiatus and see, you know, what we've watched then. Just to sign off, I mean, if you guys have been keeping up with us on Tumblr, we've been having our weekly fan fiction recommendations, hopefully to keep you going with each pairing coming up over the whole hiatus of Brooke, Donya, and Courtney recommending a fanfic each of whatever pairing they've selected for the week. So that's kind of cool. I enjoyed the Scott Isaac one. I'm very, very interested in that dynamic. It's very fascinating to me. But yeah, so that's the big thing that we have going on online. Obviously, news as it comes. We shall do a news episode. There hasn't been too much. They're filming. We don't know exactly what happened. There was a bunch of scenes with Daniel Sharman wearing a suit. He looks like a Mormon door-to-door salesperson. I don't really understand. But he looks very nice, honestly. But we'll see. There's just some new photos posted just right now of Tyler Hoechlin filming the baseball movie. So I guess he's doing that. And maybe Derek won't be in the first couple of episodes. Or they're splitting the time. They're filming very close to each other in California. The Undrafted and Teen Wolf. So, and he doesn't have to do any major like hair adjustments or anything. So perhaps it's not such a big deal to just go one day to one and one day to the other.
By day, baseball player. By night, werewolf.
Oh, my God. There's also... yeah, that'll work. We can make that work. Anything else that we've forgotten, like, to mention or that we should say before we go?
I think we covered all the big ones. If you guys want to talk about more stuff, definitely hit up Courtney, Brooke, and Donya, especially Donya. Her list is like a mile long. She's seen a lot of stuff.
I don't know if she's watched it incidentally or if she's like hardcore researched like all the Teen Wolf stuff. But yeah, it's a lot. And and as I mentioned this in a previous episode, J.R. Bourne has a cameo in Josie and the Pussycats. If you have not seen Josie and the Pussycats, you must see it immediately. His cameo is so funny, and it is such a funny movie. Like, it's such a good movie. Like, it is ridiculous, but on purpose. Like, it is very, very, very clever, and I loved it. So, yeah, you must see it. And he's so, so funny. You know, we'll stop thinking up random things to mention now and probably just let you guys go. But hopefully, yeah, you get to see one or more of the things that we've talked about and just let us know what you think. Okay, it's 1:15 in the morning now, so I'm going to say bye-bye to Karen now. Oh, Ian Bowen, by the way, is also in an episode of Cold Case. I'm just thinking of random things that I was not able to access. But if anyone has access to this, I want to see that because it's in the 1940s, like with factory girls in the wartime. So that would be cool. And he's also been in a bunch of like Young Hercules stuff. Haven't seen any of that either, but I feel like that's something we should potentially look into.
That could be hilarious.
Okay. I'll say bye now and we'll just leave on the note of Young Hercules, I think.
Yeah. All right, guys.
Bye. Watching if you want to sort of hang out with the cast. in the hiatus, the microphone just fell over.
Yeah, I was going to say, whoa.
So, and then you watched, you've seen, I pretty much assumed being that you watch everything that has, oh, hang on. Yeah, look, the microphone stick thing is broken, so basically it falls down, but I'm leaning.
Okay.